With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Report and columnist for NFL Spin Zone. You can follow him at Twitter at Mo Moten. That's M-O-E Moten, M-O-T-O-N. Maurice, how you doing today, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys? I heard you guys talking about you guys did 2 years, so congratulations on that.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Yeah, we've been running for a minute, man, and we're learning a lot, man. So especially in sports, everything is debatable, Maurice. That's what I've learned about sports. Everything is debatable.
You're absolutely right about that. You watch my Twitter. I go on debates nearly every day with people, some good, some bad. You know, but it's all about facts and how you look at them.
Exactly. Sure. Very, very true, man. Let's go ahead and start it off. Maurice, thank you again for coming on with us. Really do appreciate it. The reason I wanted to bring you on, I've been following you on Twitter, and I like a lot of stuff that you write for Bleacher Report and so on. But one thing that really caught my attention, only because here on the air, we've been talking about, you know, the Raiders are 7-2, and that's a great thing because we haven't said that in a very long time. But we've also been kind of caught up on Aldon Smith. When is he coming back? When can he be reinstated? When is the suspension over? Is Goodell going to reinstate him immediately? How long is Goodell going to hold out on him? Mario Edwards Jr. is also injured. When is he coming back? We haven't heard anything. Can you imagine when both of them get implemented? This thing going to explode. But then you stopped me in my tracks when I read one of your articles, something you wrote, and you said, you know what? They may never come back. And that's reality. And for two, the Raiders are 7-2. Why not give credit to the people, to the players who have brought us to 7-2? You stopped me on my tracks and reality hit me. And I'm like, Maurice, you are correct, my friend. I like what you wrote there. Speak a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so basically over the past 2 weeks, I've been getting endless tweets and messages and DMs and text messages about when is Aldon Smith coming back. We've been expecting Mario Edwards to return since week 3 or 4. If you remember, Mario Edwards was hurt with a hip injury. And initially they said, okay, 4 to 6 weeks, he'll be back around week 3 to 4. That extended once he went on IR. Okay, now he's done for the first 8 weeks. Okay, after the bye now, we're up to week 11. He's still not practicing with the team. He's working with the trainer. So what I said to a lot of people is, the Raiders actually have no control over what happens. We have to wait on Mario Edwards' body to recover. The NFL league office has Aldon Smith's career right now in their hands. Mm. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen. We don't even know what they found from the Periscope video that he had. We don't know if it was really him. Did they find something? Is that of the process? He also applied for reinstatement October 27th. So the NFL may not have interviewed him right away. So it's still a chance that he could come back. But right now, the Raiders, as you said, are 7-2, and their defense is actually improving. I believe I wrote the last three games, they've allowed fewer than 350 total yards. Mm. Now, people will say, hey, they got carved up by Atlanta, New Orleans, and people are still hanging on to that. And what I tell them is, hey, look, that happened when you had five new stars to start the season. And I listened to your show, and I know you guys are a little skeptical about Ken Norton Jr., but look at it this way. Start of the season against New Orleans and Atlanta, which are top-tier passing offenses with five new starters. You had basically three-quarters of your secondary was new. You brought in Sean Smith. Yes, he got torched a couple of games, but he's just coming in. Then you had two new safeties. Mm. Carl Joseph wasn't even playing at the time. He didn't start till week three, so this isn't the same defense that we saw in week 1 and 2. So people would tell me, hey, we need these players because we got carved up and they're worried about the defense of Ken Norton Jr., but I'm telling you that it's improving. And I say, don't look at the fact that the Raiders are bottom tier in passing defense or run defense. Look at the trends. Look at what's going on right now. The past few games, they beat the Denver Broncos, got Jacksonville, got Tampa Bay. Yes, those aren't great offenses per se, but we all know that any team can't just come in and just pass on the Raiders. They can beat a bad passing offense. So there's nothing to worry about with the Texans because they have the worst passing offense in the league.
Wow.
You would think it's the Browns. You would think it's the Vikings. It's the Texans because Brock Osweiler is just that bad. So I don't worry about the Raiders as far as the Texans go. So if Mario Edwards can get back and maybe 13 or 14, I'm cool with that.
A couple questions on Mario Edwards, but first I want to say, in the spirit of what you wrote, I do want to give some credit to folks who have been playing really well. Stacey McGee maybe has surpassed Dan Williams last year, at least. Dan Williams was our best defensive lineman. Tell me about the evolution of Stacey McGee. Justin Jelly Ellis, I think, has taken a slight step back, but tell me about that defensive line rotation that I was really worried about early on. Jahad Ward is a rookie, but he seems to be coming on, but Stacey McGee and Justin Jelly Ellis have been playing a lot better lately.
Yeah, just a few quick notes. Stacey McGee, I believe through the first 5 or 6 games, he led the team in sacks with only 2.5 sacks. This is before Khalil Mack came on.
Right.
But he's been playing well in the interior, and that was the Raiders' problem early in the season, is that they couldn't plug the gaps. Dan Williams came into the season. I don't know if he was out of shape, but as you said, he lost his spot to Justin Jelly Ellis. And Justin Jelly Ellis himself is an average defensive tackle, I'd say. Mm. And that led to Stacey McGee kind of taking over and playing well. Darius Latham is another guy that I've watched during the preseason. He was my preseason standout for the defense. And he's really come on lately, and he's playing well on the edge. And then you got just have to think about gelling, the fact that it takes time. And I know as fans, sometimes we're a bit impatient. We need the results now. It needs to happen now. Sometimes it doesn't happen like that. You need communication. And like I said, just a little time on the field does a lot for people. They brought in Perry Riley, and he's another Washington guy that the Raiders stole. Follow the mold of David Emerson. He's playing well in that front seven. I know Malcolm Smith has his hiccups at times, but the linebacker core has kind of solidified between the safeties, Carl Joseph and Perry Riley, who's the veteran calling the plays, because he does have the green dot on his helmet.
Yeah.
Now, that front line, like I said, it took time, but Jahad Ward also, the real called out Jahad Ward, actually, in a mild way. He said he needs to play less robotic. So basically he said, you know, he has the A or B gap, but you can make a play in another gap. You don't have to play one solid gap. You have to make plays all over the field, and that's what he did. But you also have to understand that Jahad Ward didn't play the position that long. I mean, he came from JUCO. He was a wide receiver / safety. So he only played the position on the defensive line for 2 years at Illinois before he got into the NFL. So, of course, it was going to take him time to find his way.
Our guest this morning, talking to Maurice Mountain. He is the Raiders correspondent for Bleacher Report and columnist for NFL Spin Zone. Follow him at Twitter at Mo Mountain. That's M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. Now, Maurice, let me ask you about the running game. Let's switch over to the offensive line. Three-headed monsters, what I like to call it. At first, we were thinking, okay, well, you know, Latavius is going to do what he do. It's his last year in his contract. You know, maybe he may be moving on. And, you know, I was almost thinking that if he would have been let go in preseason, I would have been okay with that because of what DeAndre Washington brings to the table and Jalen Richard. Now, mind you, we didn't know what they were going to really bring, but they've actually been pretty, I guess you can say it's a nice accessory to have to Latavius Murray. And Latavius Murray all of a sudden became a monster.
Mm-hmm. I think we miscasted Latavius Murray early in his career. When he broke out against Kansas City in 2014, if you remember when the Raiders were 0-10 and he won that first game, people casted Murray as the flash guy. He's quick, he can make moves, and he can. But the guy is 6'3", 220-something. He's a bulldozer. He's what they call a hammerhead now. So what the Raiders have, as you say, is a conglomerate. They have two kind of scat back running backs who are about the same size, about 5'8", 200 pounds. And then they have the hammer Latavius Murray, who basically finishes drives. And I wrote a note here that Derek Carr in the wins, in 4 of the 7 wins that the Raiders have, Derek Carr has thrown only 1 or 0 touchdowns. Why? And that's because the passing offense gets the Raiders down the field, but Latavius Murray is able to finish the drive. And you saw that against Denver in Week 9 where Derek Carr didn't throw a single touchdown pass.
Yeah.
But Latavius Murray carried that team to victory. They didn't even need Derek Carr to extend his arms. They didn't have to put pressure on him. It was the rushing offense that did it. And I call it bully ball, and I've been calling it bully ball for the past 2-3 weeks. And people are saying, what is this bully ball? And I was like, basically, it's Latavius Murray taking it like a grown man, running hard, not going down initial contact and bringing defenders with him to the ground. And it's working for the Raiders because now – Derek Carr, again, the pressure is not all on him to win football games. The Raiders can win football games in a multitude of ways. They can throw. They can pass. And I think you'll see more bully ball against the Texans in Mexico. The Texans have a 26th-ranked run defense. So prepare for some more Latavius Murray, maybe a little bit of Chandler Richardson mixed in. DeAndre Washington also catching out of the backfield should be a good mix.
Yeah, I love the phrase bully ball, and I think that's what we saw specifically against the Denver Broncos defense. I got a question. In order to be, you know, the bully that I know the Raiders want to be on the offensive line, they have to figure out who's going to be that starter at right tackle. Who is the guy you think has stepped up? I know Denver Kirkland has kind of been that extra offensive line, that jumbo package, kind of playing the role that Lee Smith did. But who do you think is stepping up to be really that starter for the second half of the season at right tackle?
It's funny because the last game they kind of rotated it, and I hate to say it, but I kind of feel like they could go with quote unquote the hot hand. So if a player gets blown up, let's say Austin Howard starts the game, he gets blown up by a defender or edge rusher. You may see Manelik Watson in there. He is in a contract year, so you know he's gonna be playing hard to put himself out there in the market. But I think the Raiders really want to give Manelik a chance because he's actually played well in preseason. When he's healthy, he's pretty good, and he's athletic. He's more mobile than Austin Howard. So if you have a quick edge rusher, they would probably lean toward Manelik Watson. But if you have a big bulldog and powerful edge rusher, they may lean toward Austin Howard. It depends on the matchup because, again, against Denver, they did switch because I believe Bob Miller blew up Austin Howard.
Oh, man.
They put in Watson right away. So it could be a revolving door, but I like both players stepping up in the second half of the season.
Real quick, before we let you go, the elevation of Mexico City has been documented over the last guy. I never knew elevation numbers so much more so that now that the Raiders are playing in Mexico City, it's 2,000 feet higher than Denver. How do you see the elevation playing a factor in tomorrow night's game?
A lot of substitutions. Players are going to be huffing and puffing, trying to suck in air out there on the field. Good thing the Raiders have some depth, and we talked about this. They can sub players in on the defensive line, and they can sub players in on the offensive line. You talked about Denver Kirkland also being that sixth offensive lineman. So the Raiders have the depth to handle that. So if they need players to just sit out for a little bit and switch in a player on the sideline for some air, then they can do it. Because that's the point of having depth. Injuries and substitutions. You see the Raiders do it all the time with their defensive line. Those sub players in and out, Darius Latham, Stacey McGee, Justin Ellis, Dan Williams, they all get snaps. So it's not like you have a player out there more than they need to. And I think that'll pay off for them on Monday Night Football.
I usually don't like to ask for predictions, but I'm going to ask you, Maurice. What do you predict out of tomorrow's game? Who's going to come out with a victory and how?
Real quick, Texans have only scored 24 points twice this season. The Raiders have only failed to score 24 points or more twice this season. Got to go with the Raiders, 27-19.
Nice.
I think, again, the Raiders go with the bully ball. I don't see the Texans stopping Latavius Murray and company. And it shouldn't be a close battle. The score may look close because I think the Raiders get off to a quick start like they did against Denver. But I think eventually with Latavius Murray on the field, they get off and they win this game on Monday Night Football and make a big win because this is huge because Sunday Night Football, they're playing in the primetime slot. Now they're playing in the primetime slot in another country. Everyone's watching Monday Night Football. I think they get it done. As long as they're away from Alameda, they play great. So I can't go against it. They're going to be 6-0 away from Oakland.
All right.
There you go. Maurice, thank you so much for your time, your insight, and your knowledge, my brother. I'm sure we'll be talking to you down the line. Really appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, Maurice. Maurice Mountain, he is the Raiders correspondent for Bleacher Report and columnist for NFL Spin Zone. You can follow him at Twitter at Mo Mountain. That's M-O-E-M-O-T-O-N. Mo Mountain, great job as always.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.